This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 10th, 2016. The third Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do you love me?
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Do you love me? That is a question that God not only asks Peter, son of John, Simon, son of John, do you love me? A prayer that we hear every single week, the Collect for Purity, said that we may perfectly love thee and wordily magnify your holy name. Perfectly love him. Can we do anything perfectly in this world? We can strive to do it perfectly. It is a command of Jesus. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. May not be able to attain it, but we are commanded to strive for perfection. And in that striving, the most perfect thing that we can do is to love our Lord. And guess what? He cares how you love him. He cares tremendously. The question that he poses to St. Peter is not just, do you love me? Question mark. He says, do you love me more than these? Now, don't interpret that to mean Jesus saying to him, do you love me more than you love your friends, the disciples? He's saying, do you love me more than these love me? Do you love me more than these, Simon, son of John? Jesus cares how Peter loves him. He cares how much he loves him. Whenever we hit these love passages, I usually take all kind of time, sometimes the whole time, and define love. And I always point out that, you know, our human definition of love is not necessarily God's definition of love. This is not where I'm going today. Today is the question posed to you as an individual. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Well, more than who? I'm not an apostle. You couldn't be said. Do you love me more than these? These jobs that you have. Do you love me more than these things that you own? Do you love me more than these children with which I have blessed you? Do you love me more than this wife or this husband with which I have blessed you? Do you love me more than these parents with which I have blessed you? It's a question we need to answer because he expects an answer. And he doesn't expect us to play lip service and just answer him, well, of course I love him. I go to church every Sunday. Do you love me more than these by proving it? Do you manifest this love? And again, this is not a question for Peter like you need to know it from history. Oh man, he really got on Peter. He asked him three times. He asks you every moment of every single day, do you love me more than these whatever, fill in the blanks. Jesus poses this question to us as individuals, and we are supposed to manifest this love for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to prove it. You don't have to prove anything to God. He knows your heart. Well, obviously, yeah, he does, but guess what? He wants you to say it. He wants you to prove it. Hence, he asked Peter three times. Very specifically, do you love me more than these? Little side note. It's interesting the way Peter answers, and this should set the stage of how we answer also. I wonder why we asked him three times. How many times did our friend Peter deny our Savior? He denied him three times, so he asked him three times, do you love me more than these? You denied me three times. Here, answer up three times. It's interesting the way that St. Peter answers. When he denied our Lord, He denied him from within his own heart. He denied him because he was scared to death that what was happening to Jesus would happen to him also. He was afraid he was going to be taken and crucified. So when a little girl asked him, "Oh, you're one of his followers?" "No, I'm not." Somebody else said, "No, I'm not." The third person asks him, then he starts cursing. "I don't know him." That answer emanated from within his being. In his answer to this question, "Do you love me more than these?" Notice he doesn't say, "Yeah, I love you." Every single time he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." You know. Now he's answering through Jesus. Jesus knew that he was going to deny him. Peter knows this now. He told him, "You're going to deny me three times." "No, no, I'll go to death for you." "Yeah, okay, right, whatever." He denies him three times, emanating within himself. Now Peter knows that Jesus Christ knows his heart. So when he asks him, "Do you love me?" And he does. "Feed my sheep." But he always answers through our Lord. That's the way we need to answer, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not from some understanding or definition of love that we have within ourselves. Not an attraction to something worldly. Not to make us happy in this world. But through Jesus Christ, a deep and profound love. When you answer the question, though, you have to take into consideration your own makeup, your own being, the way you are, the way you're wired. Because the way one person answers the question, "Do you love me?" may be completely different than way, equal, but different. We actually have that in this gospel today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he manifests himself to the apostles. And remember, there are several apostles in the boat. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked them from the beach about 100 yards away. Probably got a loud voice. 100 yards is a pretty good distance. Yeah, if you really think about it. "Got any fish?" "No." "You know, who is that?" It's starting to get light. "Who is that?" "Put it over on the other side." As soon as he dumps it over on the other side, this is not the first time he's done this. More fish than they can possibly haul in. John. Wired a particular way. Very attuned to our Lord. He has a very deep, sublime, emotional love for our Savior. He is, in fact, as we know from the scriptures, the disciple whom Jesus loves. Okay? He loved John in a different way than he loved everybody else. And I would submit to you this because John loved him in a different way. It was a very, very, as I said, it's a very deep love, very profound. A love which sees into the spiritual things. You know, a lot of us, you know, out here, you know, can be wired that way. You know, why do you keep his commandments? You know, for some people, it's just a rigid propositional approach to things, but because he said so. Some people keep his commandments because they have a love like John. It's a very deep love. "I'm keeping the commandments because I love my Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked me to do this. And in honor for him, what he has done for me, I will keep these commandments and all his precepts, the way he has spoken to his church consistently throughout history. I will do these things because I love him so much." It's a profound and deep emotional love. It's a love, again, that it recognizes the spiritual aspects of things. He's the first one who recognizes Jesus Christ in this scenario right here. First one. Who's this guy up there that said, "Put him on the right side"? Now we got a bunch of fish. John's the first one. It's the Lord. Only the Lord would do that. I could recognize this because I loved him so much. Okay? That's one way that you can love. You're going to love the way Peter loved. Peter doesn't have the deep, sublime love that St. John the Divine has. St. Peter's got a daring, bold, audacious love because that's the way St. Peter is wired. Remember the Transfiguration? The Transfiguration. You should just be overwhelmed and keep your mouth shut. "We built three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." "Yeah, right, whatever, Peter." "Yeah? You're going to deny me." "I'll never deny you." I'm going to be crucified. You won't ever be crucified. I'll defend you. Very impetuous. Very spontaneous. But guess what? His makeup is reflected in the way he loves our Lord. As soon as St. John the Divine says, it's the Lord, and everybody else, oh great, it's the Lord, let's paddle real fast and get to him. Uh-uh, not Peter. He throws on the outer garment and jumps in the water. He jumps in the water and swims the 100 yards. I don't know if any of you swim before. 100 yards is a decent swim if you're not used to it. All right? That's how much he loves him. But again, it's a completely different kind of love. Is one better than the other? Nope. Love, yes. Two different ways, because of two different ways that they're wired. Yes. We all have to answer this question in the way we approach things. But we must hit all the tests, so to speak, that our Lord wants us to hit and wants us to provide in this manifestation or this proving of our love for him. Well, how do I know? Well, I go to Mass every... Whatever. All right? It's how you live every moment of your life that manifests your love for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are people of this world, so our love for Jesus Christ cannot be an abstraction. It cannot be subjective. We are people of this world, so we need to use the things of this world to prove our love to Jesus. We need to use our time. We need to use our talents. We need to use our resources to prove that we love him. Jesus Christ is not even of this world anymore, and he still uses things. He used things of this world to prove his love for his disciples in this gospel passage. Fish, they go to the beach, there's a fire, charcoal, bread. He used stuff to prove his love. We have stuff. We need to prove our love through it. He still does that even to our day. That's called the sacraments. He uses stuff in this world to communicate his profound love for us. Baptisms. Hey, pouring water on him, if you believe, changes that individual's soul. The Eucharist par excellence. To our eyes, it appears to be bread and wine, and it is truly and objectively the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. For those who believe, even for those who don't, that's how much he loves us. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. He just makes it that way for your benefit because he loves you. Jesus uses things. We need to use things to prove that we love him. If you love Jesus, you will do what he says. That is not me that says that. Our Lord Jesus Christ explicitly states, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, nice to pull a verse out of the Bible and try to make your point. You know what? In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ says that no less than 6 times. 6 times in one chapter. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, all the 10. He means do what I say. In all the different ways that I have showed you what I've said, through the scriptures, through the commandments, through the teachings of the church consistently for 2,000 years, through his precepts, the traditions of the church, all these things, you will do them if you love him. Oh, you know, I don't agree with this or that. Then guess what? There is a big question mark as to whether you love him or not. If you don't do what, and I would actually submit to you, because I'm a hard case, you don't love him if you don't do what he says. You cannot. You would never disrespect your earthly parents. You'd never be disrespectful to someone you love in this. Why be disrespectful to our Lord? He even more so, who deserves our respect. We manifest our love to our Lord Jesus Christ, for our Lord Jesus Christ, by the way we deal with negative situations in this world. It is not, and honestly, if you look at the apostles' lives, the closer you get to him, it's not the matter of it gets better in your life. The closer you get to him, the more you love him, the more you are grieved when people don't love him the way you know that they ought. when bad things happen to us, we ought to manifest our love for him. And that means sickness, that means belligerence from the world, whatever. The reading from Acts today, they left out a couple lines. It makes it sound like the Sanhedrin was sitting there talking to them and they said, oh yeah, don't preach in this name of Jesus anymore, now go. They left out some lines before that. They told them not to preach in the name of Jesus and then they beat them severely. And then they sent them on their way. And it said, when the apostles left, they rejoiced in the dishonor that they faced for his name. If it was in our context, and we were arrested by the police, and they said, we told you not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and they beat you within an inch of your life and then sent you on your way, the first thing you'd do is be on the horn to your lawyer. They violated my rights. Yeah. I'm getting some money out of this deal. The apostles went away rejoicing that they got beat within an inch of their life for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any dishonor that we have in this world, whether it be subtle, ruffling feathers, or people being belligerent or making fun of you for praying the rosary, for crossing yourself before lunch, roll their eyes at you, consider that an honor to be dishonored by them. Because you're proving and manifesting your love for your Lord Jesus Christ. This question is posed to us primarily as individuals, but when you take that into consideration, when we as individuals, if we love our Lord Jesus Christ the way we ought, when we all get together, the love that we have for him should just exude out of these four walls. It should be unquestionable when a bunch of people who love our Lord Jesus Christ the way they should act like that when they come into his house. When you walk in here, it manifests your love for our Lord Jesus Christ when you're quiet. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here with this because that's not a problem that we have here. Okay? But think of some of the places you may have been recently or visited. And think of how much talking goes on. It's common courtesy, particularly for those of you in the military. You sit around and jawjack in an office, but when the commanding officer walks in there, you stand up and you shut your mouth. You're going to have a big meeting with the boss and you know somebody's head's going to get lopped off because of something going on. There ain't a whole lot of jawjacking going on when everybody's getting into their... Why walk into the living God's house and flippantly just hold conversation as opposed to preparing yourself silently for what the Heavenly Father is about to say to you through His Holy Spirit? The way you act when you come in here ought to manifest your love for God. The way you dress, the way you present yourself ought to manifest your love for God. You should be able to come as you are. That doesn't apply in restaurants. A lot of restaurants, you got to wear a tie. Come into the house of the living God. I can come anywhere I want. Now, unfortunately, that's another thing that's not presented in here. You walk in here, you're supposed to bring your first fruits, the best you have, because of the presence in whose presence you are sitting, standing, kneeling. How much more? Let's not even enter into the discussion as to how you should approach the altar if you love our Lord Jesus Christ. You are about to receive into your very being the same flesh that hung on the cross, the same flesh that was born in Bethlehem. And what you see, again, in some other places, texting while you're waiting in line. I have seen clerics, and this is kind of interesting because a lot of places clerics aren't the ones distributing communion. I saw recently a cleric talking to someone else while he was distributing the Blessed Sacrament. Holding a conversation with somebody on his side. Horrendous. You do not love Jesus Christ if you do things like that when you're holding his very being in your hand. You cannot. It's impossible. Peter was grieved when the Lord kept asking him, do you love me? A lot of people, you know, come to get, oh my gosh, here's another one. You got to do this. You got to do that. You should do this. You should do that. Are you grieved because you hear this again? The question is always posed. The question is posed every single time that you come in here. Ought to be. It should be posed within your own mind, within your own spirit, day in and day out. Am I manifesting and proving the love that I have for him? You know what? It's not really bad to use our human parameters of love. Really? You know, what is love? It's when I'm attracted to something or someone. It's what makes me happy. The Roman Catechism actually uses those two elements of love to think of why we should be attracted with the utmost of love for our Lord. It says that we should try to fulfill a love toward the infinite goodness of God that he manifests toward us. No one's ever loved you so much in this world that they would give their only child to die for you. No one loves you that much. As hard as that might be for you to understand, no one in this world loves you so much that they would kill their only child for you. Almighty God did. And if he showed that kind of love toward us, ought we not to try to love him, to prove our love for him in some at least small way? Because, as it says in the Catechism, we should be powerfully attracted to the supreme and all-perfect good of Almighty God and the true and solid happiness that is only to be found in him. No matter who or what makes you happy in this world, guess what? It's going away. Eventually, it's going to go away. Kids are going to grow up and leave the house. Spouses are going to die. Parents are going to die. You're going to retire or lose your job someday. It is all fleeting. The only eternal happiness that we had, and that happiness that far exceeds anything your mind cannot comprehend, the happiness that you're going to have for all eternity. That's the happiness upon which you should focus. And that focus should foster a love for our Lord. A love not in your head or not that you talk about, but a love that you prove. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.